which started early last year, internally, MOE reviewing measures that we've put in place to tackle hurtful behaviour and bullying in schools. And last August, you would have, if you recall, I shared publicly that we are moving to phase two, where we engage parents, engage students, engage academics, researchers, and more. And more than 2,000 have been engaged, and they've given us very good food for thought. So we have completed the review and have been in the process of implementing some of the 9 measures that were recommended by the review. And these cover 4 broad areas. But in the interest of time, I will focus on just a few of them and highlight and spotlight some of the key measures that we're taking. First, of course, school culture and school processes. We saw that different schools adopted measures to tackle hurtful behaviour and bullying. But across the board, there were variances in the way we handled these issues, and understandably so. So MOE will work closely with our schools to provide clear protocols, clear guidelines, including adopting a more stringent stance on the disciplinary measures that we take to tackle bullying, so that there's evenness, there's consistency, but also a more forward posture when it comes to disciplinary measures. We will work closely with our schools to strengthen reporting structures. So, of course, reporting to peer support leaders, to teachers, to school leaders. But from 2027, we'll also have an online platform to allow people to report hurtful behaviour and bullying. And that will provide another avenue for our children to get the help that they need. In addition to this, we also recognise that our educators, our teachers, have many responsibilities in school. And while tackling hurtful behaviour and bullying is an important part and parcel of the educational journey, because children are interacting every day, right? We want to help our teachers to manage not just their teaching, but also the tackling of hurtful behaviour and bullying. And that is why MOE will provide our schools, based on their needs and their circumstances, with extra resources that they can deploy to bring in additional support. This can be in the form of engaging social workers or social service agencies to come in to help with restorative practice, additional manpower to help with the fact-finding, to help with stakeholder and parent liaison. And this will allow our teachers to handle the issue with more support, but also be able to focus on their core mission of teaching in the classroom, teaching outside the classroom, and using these opportunities as teachable moments for our children. So additional resources will depend again on the needs and circumstances of each school, and it will be a conversation that MOE will have with our schools. Of course, whilst taking a more forward stance, strengthening our disciplinary posture, supporting our teachers and schools is important, but at the end of the day, if you think about it, having had conversations with such a wide array of stakeholders and partners, upstream measures are equally, if not more, important. And I want to emphasize that because values education, character building, all these are part and parcel of why our children come to school, not just to grow their intellect or to strengthen their academic subject expertise, but also to mold and shape their character and values and their worldview that they bring out when they leave school. And so we will be enhancing further our CC framework and our school educational framework to strengthen through, for example, realistic role play, as well as real-world examples, to enable our children to strengthen their social-emotional learning, empathy, communication, interrelational skills, cross-cultural communication, resilience, upstanding behaviour. These are the things that we want to do upstream for our whole school, for all our children, as they pick up an understanding of perspective-taking, to understand the impact of their behaviour on people around them, their friends, their classmates, their family, their teachers. So through all of this, we feel that it will help also to empower our students to mold and shape the school that they'd like to see together with our school leaders and our teachers and parents. So we will also be providing age-appropriate training to our peer support leaders, help them to also play a part alongside our teachers and school leaders to shape a school culture, a culture of respect, of mutual communication, of empathy and understanding, a kind, caring environment that all of us as parents, as members of the public, want to see in all our schools. And so they will then take the lead in looking out for friends and classmates who may be isolated, who may have a bit more difficulty fitting in. It will then allow a stronger partnership between the teachers and the students to be able to see more upstanding behavior, to see our teachers alerted early about problems before they spill over. And I think that will allow our students also to recognize that in dealing with this issue, they also have agency. They also can take responsibility. Children all the way to adolescents in our schools, some 300 over schools, interacting every day, formal interactions, classroom interactions, informal interactions, interactions outside school, between one another and between them and their teachers. And there will bound to be incidents that happen from time to time because of the sheer number of interactions. And really, school is where interactions become teachable moments, and we learn through doing, we learn through interacting, and we don't just learn through the books. Yet at the same time, we all want our school environment, and just generally Singapore as a whole, because our children also interact and learn outdoors, to be a safe environment, to be a conducive environment for learning, even as we want to help our children be resilient and learn how to deal with some of these behaviours and seek appropriate help. And that is why there was strong consensus in the different dialogue sessions that everyone has a part to play in creating that kind of environment and in creating that kind of society where our children can learn safely, grow safely, experience life and grow along the way. So the school-home partnership has always been an important emphasis for the Ministry of Education. Our schools spend a lot of time building up social capital with our important stakeholders who are parents and family members. And in fact, the whole of society has a part to play. And so groups like the Singapore Kindness Movement, Centre for Fathering, and many other organisations focused on kindness, culture building, are important stakeholders. So the school-home partnership enables social capital to be built. You've seen how in Teck Yee Primary School, they do that on a daily basis. It's not just talk, it's also action. Because relationship building, trust building is a perpetual work in progress as generations of parents come on board and as teachers come on board. It's perpetual work in progress. It's a culture where teachers and parents are on the same side, all wanting to support our children. It's a culture where when things happen, parents don't see other parents as adversaries. They don't see their classmates' children or the perpetrators of hurtful behaviour as adversaries to be dealt with in a vindictive way, but rather that they all see that, well, children are children. There has been hurtful behaviour, there may be serious bullying, but let us work together, deal with the incident, ensure safety, discipline is needed, but ultimately it's an educative and restorative process that we want to incorporate firmly into the whole cycle of dealing with hurtful behaviour and bullying.